You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Chepstow and Market Raisin, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Lingfield. That's the afternoon lineup. And then into the evening, it's the usual Friday evening fair, racing on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton and on the Poly Track at Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you, Mark. Just about thawed out. Pretty cold, but I believe the warmer spell is not too far away, or certainly a bit milder anyway than we've had over the past week, with minus temperatures at quite a lot of venues throughout the evening. So I think it's due to get a little bit warmer from the weekend, or maybe even tomorrow onwards. So that's always good news.
It is, yeah. It's pretty damn cold at the moment. In fact, temperatures reach very low levels at Lambourne, and Newbury was called off.
Rather caught them by surprise, that, didn't it? Which is par for the course of quite a lot of those rural tracks. You don't realise, you think Newbury's very close to Reading, but it is in the middle of nowhere pretty well. There's a town obviously around it, but it's not exactly the most built-up area in the world. And the same with Ludlow, unfortunately, as we were recording this on Thursday lunchtime, bit the dust after colder than expected there in the middle of the sticks on Wednesday evening, so they're meeting on Thursday, bit the dust.
Yeah, temperatures of -9, apparently, near Newbury. That's cold enough, isn't it? It doesn't bear thinking about.
It does not.
Let's have a bit of a chat about some of the news as well before we get stuck into Friday's action. We'll start with a look ahead to the weekend, really, Gary, because it's a real top-class weekend of racing. It's good because we've had a couple of quiet weekends since the turn of the year, but this week we've got Champion Chase Clues in the Clarence House. We've got the Irish Champion Hurdle, we've got the Irish Arkle, we've got good racing at Haydock, where you've got a Champion Hurdle trial and a Supreme trial and the Peter Marsh. It's a real quality weekend of racing, isn't it?
Sure is. So obviously coming over for the Clarence House, and I think he's a fair price to beat Sada Grugy, to be perfectly honest. I know he's been backed a little bit the last couple of days. He's a lot shorter now than what he was, so that's that bodes well. I think he'll be taking all the beating over Sada Grugy. There's only five of them due to turn up. Vibrato Veltat, who we heard the other day, is going to be going up in trip. Simply Ned in Traffic Fluid, certainly in Traffic Fluid's case, he might get to this level eventually, but it might take a while. He's still a relatively young horse, isn't he? Yeah, got that decent handicap with Regal Encore, Aura Gatta and Salubris towards the front of the market as well to look forward to. That's the Prime Novice Hurdle trial, as you said. Le Presidien likely to be favourite for that. And a good mare's race, or seemingly a good mare's race at Ascot, where Vroom Vroom Mag, I think, is likely to turn up too. Peace and Co. and the new one, Lock Horns, in the Champion Hurdle trial. Some other really good handicaps, actually, the more you look. And Red the Savola going back over fences in the Peter Marsh chase with Fingal Bay, Katenko, Virac and Cloudy 2, and Algonon Pazem, who's got a little bit to prove after the last couple of runs, also likely to turn up. And we've got short price favourites over in Ireland on the Sunday, with Forheen likely to take on all his stable companions, which will be running against him in the Champion Hurdle. So always got a mini Champion Hurdle, if you like. Nicholas Canyon, obviously, who beat him in November, don't expect him to get the same luxury of a soft lead. And I think you'll see a different result. That's obviously reflected in the market. And Duvan reopposes T. Bob in the Irish Arkle, and another jump round as he did the other day. We'll see him victorious in probably, as he did on Boxing Day, in pretty effortless fashion again. So, yeah, good stuff this weekend. I didn't realise how good it was, actually, until I've delved into the anti-post markets there. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to over the weekend.
Yeah, very good weekend to look forward to. We should see a few more festival clues along the way as well. Out of all of that, Gary, what would you be most looking out for with regards to the festival? Would he make it? I mean, for me, I'm just Underso getting tested against
Underso,
proven top-level chaser. And providing he gets round, of course.
Yeah, I think the one that will tell us most might actually be the mayor's race, because I think Vroom Vroom Mag's likely to end up going for the World Hurdle.
Yeah, apparently they're going to decide afterwards, aren't they, whether to go World Hurdle.
So that will probably have the most impact on the anti-post market, actually, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Simply because of that. I don't see Duvan or Foyin having any problems. Having said that, I'd have said exactly the same before him before he ran at Punchestown on his seasonal debut. So I think that probably could well be the race that shakes the most will beat. I should imagine Will be rather coy afterwards. We won't actually learn where she's going to go until a lot later.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how he reacts after the Irish Champion Hurdle as well, given the result, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got several Willie Mullin specials on the website as well. And one that I was just looking at this morning is that he's 11-8 to have 7-9 festival winners.
Yeah, I was reading this. It's in the paper, isn't it? A few firms have priced it up. I think we go 20-1 that he saddles winners of all four championship events.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it,
he's not got the worst chance, has he?
With Vroom Vroom Mag likely to go for the World Hurdle, if that should happen, I think he's going to win the other three. So you're getting 20-1 about him, for me, winning the World Hurdle. I mean, hasn't he got something else? And he's got a few others potentially to go for that race as well. I'm just going to get the World Hurdle market up on my screen. Obviously, Fister Crack's a fairly short price favourite, but you know, Annie Power's entered, Vroom Vroom Mag is entered, and Nicholas Canyon's entered, but that won't be going there. So actually, but other than that, he's obviously got those two. Interesting. That's not the worst 20-1 shot, I don't think, because I'd be surprised if come the Wednesday he hasn't secured the first two. Certainly the Champion Hurdle is his, and if on the So jumps round, I think the Champion Chase is his. So that's probably not the worst price in the world.
What do you make of the Gold Cup, Gary? Obviously, he's never won the Gold Cup.
No, but
he's got a pretty good chance, hasn't he?
He's got Dom Pody, would be my pick of those horses that he has in the race. Obviously, he has Jack Adam, who was second in the race last year as a six-year-old. We're going to be seeing him at Cheltenham next week. He's got Vittori, who could potentially go there, albeit not completely convinced he will. Falsolido is going to be a massive price and probably might go for the Ryanair, and there are a couple of other outsiders that he has entered too that probably won't make the lineup. I just think about Doncaster, like about him and Cheltenham, that I'm not sure that it's particularly a good mix, whereas I don't think that'll be the case for Dom Poli, Aldrich Adam, or possibly even Vittori too. So there's a fair chance he's going to be taking the Gold Cup too.
Yeah, I've got the special.
Mind you, if you've got 20-1 on that coming into the race, you can just as easily have a couple of quid on couple of the other more fancied ones anyway to cover your stake, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you should. Yeah, imagine if you're going into that day with
exactly.
He's already won. Yeah, I mean, you should have a 1-2-3 in the Champion Hurdle. Yeah, very strong chance. Number of winners he'll train at the 2016 Festival: 7-9 inclusive is 11-8, which is what he did last year at 8. He had 8 winners, didn't he? 10 or more is 7-4. And 6 or fewer is 2-1.
10 or more is asking a lot. Because one or two of these are going to get beat. It's just a lot of averages, isn't it? But I'd need to have a look through all the markets, because I bet he has probably got the favourite in quite a few of them. But this is Cheltenham.
Yeah.
It's never easy to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. And you're going to be relying on him winning quite a lot of the handicaps, I would suggest. Or a few handicaps at least, if you think he's going to get 8 or more.
Yeah.
Or even more than that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's put the Cheltenham Festival on the back burner for just a moment or two. Let's talk about some of the other news. There's a little bit about we've got to make the most of Sunday racing. The idea is that the British racetracks don't make enough of it. The fact that it's one of the few sports that under-18s can get in for free. And they don't really utilise it enough. And you see in Ireland, you have these real top-class Sundays.
Yeah, and jumps.
Yeah, you don't get so many of them over here. It's a valid point, isn't it?
Hardly any. And it's interesting when it was those figures that came out last week, I think it mentions it in today's Racing Post as well, that Sunday was the only day to show a fall in attendances. Dropped 19,000 or so. So, albeit there were three fewer fixtures, but I don't think you can really count that for that. So I think that's interesting, and it's something that racecourses do need to look at. You see in the summer that attendances are quite good. They have all these family days, etc., etc. But I still think the quality of the racing could be better. I mean, you'll get the odd anomaly over Christmas time where a decent meeting won't take place on a Sunday, but you know they are anomalies, really. Unless Boxing Day falls on a Sunday, then the Sunday attendances will continue to decline. Something needs doing. not 100% sure just what, but the quality of racing could definitely be better.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Put good racing on a Sunday and people will go, I think. So, yeah, I think it is that simple in a respect. But, yeah, we'll watch that space. Final thing we're going to talk about, Gary, before we move on to Friday's action, it's something a little bit different as well. Racing Post readers have been given the chance to design a new champion jump jockeys trophy, which will be presented to the winner at Sandown in April. The original trophy was decommissioned and given to Sir A.P. McCoy due to his remarkable achievements. And the new trophy is going to incorporate just one of his achievements along the way. You can vote from three moments to incorporate in the trophy. That's the Grand National win on Don't Push It, the Gold Cup win in 2012 on Synchronised, or Wichita Lineman winning the William Hill Trophy back in 2009. Three very, very good moments if you get a chance to go back and watch them, because they're superb. If you had to choose one of them, Gary, which would you go for?
Tricky one. I'm sure Richard Johnson's going to love picking that up, by the way. Well, if we look at those three, the William Hill Trophy was probably his best ride ever. Synchronised was a very good ride, but it's in, you know, the blue ribboned event, the Gold Cup, and Don't Push It came in the worst watch race, jumps race in the world. I'd probably go for the Don't Push It one myself, simply because of the prestige and everything that goes around with the Grand National. His reaction was a little, you know, it's the race that every jump jockey wants to win. It's the most famous race in the world, let's put it that way. So it'd have to be the national win for me.
Yeah, it's the one that he really wanted as well, wasn't it?
You can tell by the reaction.
Yeah. But then again, Synchronised was such a quickly improving horse. That was a surprise. And as you mentioned, with Cheetah Lyman, the ride there is one of the greatest rides I've ever seen. So three very worthy moments there. And being our racing ambassador here at William Hill, I thought it'd be worthy of a mention.
Very good.
Yeah. Good stuff. Let's leave it there. Let's move on to Friday's action. Gary's got four races picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look ahead to four races. We start in the 2 o'clock at Lingfield Park. This one is a Class 2 handicap. It's over 6 furlongs and a field of 11 to go to post. Here, Gary, who'd you like in that one?
Good little race, this. The top weight just is good. Makes his handicap debut. He's been running in conditions races. Fascinating to see how he gets on. And he gets a tongue tie added for the first time. So he is of interest. Barracuda Boy, previous course and distance winner at Yarmouth when last seen. But off the track for a while. Be interesting to see what the market makes of him. Magnus Maximus won at Ascot in September. Formerly trained by Nick Littman and now with Robin Brisland. Finished fourth of seven at Chelmsford on its most recent outing. That's another one, I think, to consider. Spring Load has been in good form. Likewise, Hoofalong down at the bottom was second at Wolverhampton when last seen. And Steel Rither, another one he can't discount, making his debut for David Barron. Interesting to see how he goes in the market too. Well, all I'm going to go for is horse number four, Boomerang Bob. Another one, a previous course and distance winner. A winner here in December. Second of six in a handicap here 6 days ago. I think he's due to go up in the weights as well. I think he's due to get a £4 rise in the weights come Saturday. Next Saturday I think it'll be, won't it? So this is the last chance that they've got to run him, or probably one of the last chances they've got to run him off this mark. Yawn in good form as well. Makes plenty of appeal, this horse. Well drawn in two. So Boomerang Bob would be the selection in the 2 o'clock race at Lingfield.
Boomerang Bob, this selection then for Gary in the 2 o'clock. We move to Chepstow next for their 2:40. This one is a mare's handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs. Field of 10 here, Gary. Some informed mares in there as well. It's another good race.
Yeah, I think Holly's Pearl, probably with the selection, likely to be favoured as well, has been in a real rich vein of form, this mare. She's won four of her last five starts. In fact, just looking down her career record, she's never finished out of the front three. Obviously, she won a listed bumper at the Grand National meeting when the ground was on the quick side, but she's got form in on the softer ground as well, including when winning at Foss last January. The hurdles, well, she made her winning hurdling debut at Chepstow when the ground was a little bit quicker in October. Finished at second behind Renee's Girl at Warwick when last seen in November. That was when the Bowen horses were beginning a little bit of a slump. They hit a bit of form a couple of weekends ago, and they've continued in fair form since. The blinkers go on for the first time, which I think are an interesting addition, but I still think she's got plenty more to come. Some of these are fairly exposed. The likes of Altes the Gee, very consistent in her own right, of course, and likewise Cordic Annie, who's gone a fair way up from Jackie Duplessis's southern base for this. Queen of the Stage is another one we should mention, another one towards the top of the weights. Finished fifth in the listed mare's hurdle behind Poddy Peacham at Sandown when last seen in January. Prior to that, had finished down the field in that listed mare's hurdle at Newbury. Got some decent form last year as well, including when winning at Exeter just before Christmas, and won't mind any cut in the ground. But all things considered, I think Holly's Pearl has probably just got a little bit more to come. And with the Bowen horses in decent form, she's back from a break, she will be the selection in that 240 race.
Starting with Peter Bowen's Holly's Pearl then in the 240. On to the 330 at Market Rasen next. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 4.5 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 here. Gary, we'll start with Cotillion, who's won his last two races over the obstacles. Also won a race before that on the all-weather at Lingfield as well. So arrives here in real good form.
Yeah, won his last three. Ian Williams yard in good form as well. Yeah, you point out he won at Lingfield on the Poddy track just before Christmas, and then he's won his last two selling hurdles at Leicester just after Christmas and on New Year's Day at Fakenham. Don't know a great deal about the rider, I must admit. Toby Wheeler, who claims 10. That would, the step up in grade and not knowing a great deal about the rider would probably, I'm afraid, put me off a little bit. Away for Slates also arrives here in good form, having won its most recent outing at Musselburgh off a mark of 115. That also came on New Year's Day. He's been raised £6 for that victory. This, again, probably looks a little bit more competitive. Captain Kelly, formerly decent in his day, used to be trained by Paul Nicholls, hasn't been seen for quite some time, however, was a real stayer. This horse was last seen finishing fourth at Newton Abbott in that competitive handicap that they have at the back end of September. That came back in 2013. Be a fantastic training performance from Dan Skelton to get that one to win, although I expect him to be fit. Great link, that one. Stable Companion is a previous course winner. Interesting, I assume that Harry had the option over the two Skelton horses and has chosen for this one. Sal Manzar, another one to mention towards the top of the weights. Just looking through its recent form figures, though, has plenty of letters as well as numbers next to its name, which would have to be a concern. What I'm going to go for is the Caroline Bailey trained at Cross Park, who's had two starts under rules, won a novice hurdle at Southall on his debut under rules, and then finished third there last time out. That also came in novice company behind Single Farm Pavement. Beat in a fair way. But handicap debut, been given a little bit of a break to get over that run, and I think this former point-to-point winner might well prove to be a little bit better than the mark of 1-2-6 in due course. So Cross Park is the selection in the 3:30 race at Market Rasen.
Yeah, that race at Southwell Wave finished behind Single Farm Pavement, finished third. That form was boosted by the winner. Single Farm Pavement won again at New Year's Day at Cheltenham.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I was going to say Cheltenham, I wasn't just sure if that was correct or not. So, yeah, the form has taken a boost.
The final race we look at is the 6:15 at Wolverhampton. We finish here with a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and two interesting runners here in the shape of Sweet Temptation and Marie, because both of them had one start, Gary. Both of them won that start as well.
Yeah, they go into the could-be-anything category, aren't they? Sweet Temptation won at Chelmsford. Again, that yard's in really good form. Handicap debut, likely to have a lot more to offer. Likewise, horse number 3, Mary, who won also at Chelmsford over 7 furlongs, a bit more recently than Sweet Temptations. Been given a mark of 74, another one that's likely to improve now going at handicapping. Hold Your Fire is another one that's won at Chelmsford in the past. Finished third over this course and distance when last seen. Mustachegra wears cheap pieces for the first time. Simon Crisford's runner managed to win here in November. Disappointed a little bit the last two runs. I think Doe stepping up in ship is a good idea, but I think she might struggle in this grade. And Outback Blue finished last at Lingfield when last seen, but was given an awful lot to do. Another one who'd won here in the past. interesting race, isn't it? I think I'd probably concentrate on the two horses that are defending unbeaten records, and I will probably side with the horses likely to be the bigger price of the two. Horse number two, Sweet Temptation, for the informed Stuart Williams yard, with Aaron Jones claiming a very valuable £5 off the horse's back.
Sweet Temptation then for Gary in the 6:15. As usual, Gary, let's just have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, in the 2 o'clock race at Lingfield, going to go for Boomerang Bob. In the 2:40 race at Chepstow, Holly's Pearl. In the 3:30 race at Market, Raisin Cross Park. And in the 6:15 at Wolverhampton, Sweet Temptation.
Superb. Good work, Gary. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thanks, will do.
There you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. Darren Owen, Andrew Mount and Rory DeLaghi, the team in the studio. It's Chepstow, Market Raisin and Lingfield on Friday afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk provide the usual Friday evening fare. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.